how humbling it would be for Paul, a Pharisee, Jew of the Jews, Pharisee of the Pharisees, persecutor of the church, all this, and he gives his credentials. But now to humble himself, to admit that he was unclean, being a Pharisee, and yet I was unclean, and then submitting to Christian baptism, where it's not the cleansing of the filth from the flesh, but appeal to God for a clear conscience, identifying with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. What an incredible thing Paul is saying to them.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 22 with a message titled Paul's Testimony.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Saul of Tarsus, who is now preaching as Paul the Apostle, and he was blind spiritually and now for a time blinded physically. And so that voice that comes to him, why are you persecuting me? Now, here is the doctrine of the church as the body of Christ. We call ourselves the body of Christ made up of many members. The Bible says we're living stones built together, the temple or the house of God, many, many stones. But here you see the body of Christ. And what we learn from this, when the body is attacked, when the church is attacked, the head hurts. Why are you persecuting me? Wait a minute. Saul was persecuting the church, but as you're persecuting the church, you're persecuting the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So you see, when people come at you or come at the church in unkind words, they're really coming at Jesus Christ himself. And really it hurts the Lord. And so realize that your feelings might get hurt, but more so Jesus, because he died that we might be the body of Christ, the church. Realize that. Now, one of the things that we note is Paul is just going through this testimony and he's telling the facts. These are the facts. He doesn't embellish on what is true in his witness and how he was saved. I would encourage all of us not to exaggerate our testimony or not to exaggerate the things of God, that your testimony or the things of God might be more spectacular. I've heard preachers, I've heard people tell spectacular things I know are false. They're not true. I've heard it. Maybe you've heard it. And one of the things when you do that is you lose credibility. I'm very cautious of what I say. And when I tell a story, that I not embellish on it and make the situation more so people really believe in miracles. They'll really look to me and admire me than what they see in me. That's what Paul says. I don't speak beyond what you see in me. Oh, that is so important for pastors, because there's so many that exaggerate. They embellish the stories. They say things that just aren't true. And somehow the Holy Spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of me, just has a check in the spirit. I just don't get, as we used to say in the Jesus movement, the big W. The big W is the big witness. I don't get a witness on what they're saying. And later you find out that wasn't true. So you know what? Then I can't believe anything that they say. Oh, I can believe the scriptures if they read the scriptures, but what they say about it, boy, I'm very cautious in believing what they're saying. Well, notice he talks about Ananias, who, when Paul was blind, led by the hand into Damascus, and here, this Ananias, we don't know much about him. You know, we don't know too much, but what is written here, he has a good reputation, a great reputation. He's a very devout man. He's a very godly man. And especially with the Jews there in Damascus, they have a great, witness of this man. And here is a man who has a good reputation among the Jews and among the Christians that can testify of Paul's conversion. You see, that's what Paul is saying to this. Remember, we're talking to about this mob that doesn't want to believe, that wants to kill Paul. So they could go ask these people, they could ask Ananias, or at least the council, what was Paul doing before he became this fanatical Christian? Well, he was persecuting the Christians. He was holding the coats and voting for their death. And then they could go here to Ananias or some of the Christians and say, what happened to him? He's just really flipped. Yeah, he has flipped, but he's now flipped right side up instead of upside down, like he once was. And so Ananias, good reputation. And notice what he calls Saul. He says, Brother Saul. That's in verse 13. Oh, that had to be comforting to Paul. Brother Saul. Now remember, in time, Paul changes his name on his first missionary journey. But at this time, it was Saul. That's his old life. Now, moving into this new life, very comforting words when Paul is making this transition from the old life of Judaism, a legalist, into this new life of grace in Christianity. You know, you can probably identify your own salvation experience. I know that I must have accepted the Lord about five different times. I look at the first time down in Waikiki with a brother down there. And then there was another time where I went to church with a girl that babysat our kids. And I actually made an altar call. There were only about, 20 people in that church. Maybe about 20, maybe a little more, 25. And the pastor asked if anybody wanted to come forward. So I did. I got up and I came forward. And I heard a hoot from the audience or the congregation. Oh, you know, kind of like you do when you're surfing. You know, you get in the tube. And I thought, oh, that's strange. They even hoot when you do an altar call. Sometimes we clap now, don't we? You know, somebody's coming forward, can't even encourage them. And then, I said the sinner's prayer and so forth. And then afterwards, I realized what happened. There were two guys there. They were making a Christian surf film. Bob Cording, Jerry Humphreys, Tales from the Tube. And I thought, how can a surfer be a Christian? I didn't know how the two met, could be that. Maybe Paul was thinking that. How can a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin be a Christian? He couldn't figure it out. How could that happen? Transition. And from Judaism and who he was, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, into Christianity. I couldn't figure out how a Christian could be or a surfer could be a Christian. And these guys told me they were making a surf film, and all the Christian, all the top surfers and so forth that were getting saved and coming to the Lord. And it was real encouragement to me. And so they interviewed me at the last in their movie. You know, I'm kind of at the end doing a testimony there. But Ananias, a man, Paul came to arrest. Paul came to arrest, and God said, Ananias, you go pray for him. He goes, are you kidding? We've heard of this guy. Yeah, you've heard of him, but now he's converted. You go pray for him, lay hands on him. I want him filled with the Holy Spirit, and I want him to go be baptized in water. And so he did. He goes from Paul wanted to arrest him to now he calls him brother. Well, we end off here, 14 to 21, end off. And the last part is be prophetic. Be prophetic in your witness. what God is doing, what God had done, what God is doing, and what He's going to do in your life. And again, that first message we did last week, you can get the full extent of what I was saying. And so Ananias is saying, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know His will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from His mouth, for you will be a witness for Him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized. That's baptized in water, and wash away your sins, calling on His name. Now, some believe in baptismal regeneration. That's not what Ananias is saying. You find Peter says it's not the washing of the filth from the flesh, but it's an appeal to God for a clear conscience. That's the idea. It's an outward act that deals with an inward desire. The cleansing and the washing of your sins, that can only be done by the blood of Jesus Christ. And verse 17, and it came about when I returned to Jerusalem. Remember, Paul still telling the story. That's what Ananias said to me. I was baptized. And when I came, and it came about when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, and I fell into a trance. Now, that was his initial salvation experience. And then he comes back to Jerusalem, but he doesn't get a very warm welcome there as a Christian. It says he fell into a trance, or an ecstasy is the term there. I saw him saying to me, that's the Lord, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in thee. And when the blood of thy witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by approving and watching out for the cloaks of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Now, that really stirred up the mob. We deal with that next time. But the point being, 20 years later, he comes back. Now, it's 20 years when he's speaking to them. So he left. God said, you know, they're not going to receive your witness. Go. Your ministry is to the Gentiles. 20 years later, he comes back. You see, prophetic here. God is leading us into the future. He's got future things for you. When we think about what is happening in our country, what is happening in the state, there's something God is doing. I want to be sensitive to that. Very sensitive to that. That's why I put online certain things like this COVID-19 video from these two physicians. I want you to see the other side of the story. Because so much of the political speak is going on, and certain things are going on in our country. And one of the things one of the physicians said, he said, I'm not dealing with politics at this point. I'm dealing with statistics. I'm dealing with facts. That's what I'm all about, or the two are all about. But then toward the end, when he's asked a question, interesting, he says, it's not about the sequestering people at home and keeping them from the public eye. The best thing to do is have people in their society, in their jobs, going to school. And those who are sick, yes, quarantine those. But you don't shut down a whole society. That's never been done in the history of the United States. Not at all. And then he says, when they say safe, they mean control. And that's exactly what we see now. They see that they can control the population. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that's what the Antichrist will do. He will control the population. You're seeing a little bit of this. You see how easy it is to shut down the whole world, the whole state, the whole country? See how easy it is? Just have a virus and say, this is the worst that has ever been. It's not even like the flu. It's just horrible. We've got to shut everything down and you stay at home. The very worst thing you can do. Not only, you know, not only, again, I'm not going to go into it, but my wife says, "Hun, you get off on tangents. Just stick to the facts." So the facts is the video, a must. So check that out. But when I say prophetic, I mean, what ministry does God have for us? Yesterday was so exciting. You know, they were here from the morning, the ladies and the guys and the people in our church were here. And from, you know, early in the morning until probably after 3 o'clock or so, you know, just giving them meals. And what a time of fellowship. What a beautiful time for the body of Christ. So refreshing to just give out and minister. You see, and so God has got something for us now. You see, always the Jews would require the Gentiles, and Paul talks about being baptized. Now, that was a big thing. That was radical for him to say that to this mob, these Jews. Because the Jews would require the Gentiles that were to be proselytes to the Jewish faith, to Judaism, to go through these ceremonial cleansings and the mikvah, or they would call them, you know, washings and circumcision. Otherwise, they were unclean. But notice what Paul says. How humbling it would be for Paul, a Pharisee, and he gives his credentials as a Pharisee, you know, Jew of the Jews, Pharisee of the Pharisees, persecutor of the church, all this. And he gives his credentials, an incredible man. But now to humble himself for Paul as a Pharisee, a strict law keeper, to admit that he was unclean, being a Jew, being part of the Sanhedrin, being a Pharisee, and yet I was unclean. Can you imagine how that affected these that he was talking to? And then submitting to Christian baptism. Christian baptism. Where it's not the cleansing of the filth from the filth from the flesh, but appeal to God for a clear conscience. Paul, as a Pharisee, you didn't have a clear conscience. And now you're identifying with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. What an incredible thing Paul is saying to them. You see the proof, and then he talks about the proof of his calling where he's in Jerusalem and flee. They're going to be on your case. They're not going to accept your testimony. They flee the city. That was 20 years earlier. You see, the proof of his calling is opposition. The proof of your calling, people aren't always going to agree with you. Now, you might not get the kind of opposition and persecution Paul does. You might not get the death threats. You might not go around and riots happen, you know, wherever you go because you're preaching Christ. But you might get snickers, sneers. People laugh at you. People don't want to be around you. People mock you. They kid you behind your back. They may do that. May even spit on you if you go down to Waikiki and witness down there. There's a little bit of that. But it's always the proof of your calling is the opposition that comes. I know with myself, it just came from my family and my friends. They would kind of, almost in a prideful way, kind of look down on me and snicker and ask me about it. Or my family, you know, they just get angry because of that. And so you might get that, but that opposition is just really signs that they're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting Jesus Christ. Oh, you can talk about God all you want. And your family and your friends and the philosophers, oh, they will talk about the God. That's something that, you know, cosmic whatever they will say. Oh, yes, God, I think he's an alien. And, you know, they'll talk about God. You talk about Jesus Christ, you'll see the opposition. Because there's no way into God the Father except through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, you try to climb up some other way, you're a thief and you're a robber. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So when you talk to people about that, just put a smile on your face because you might get opposition. But don't retaliate. Don't be like them. Show that you have that peace that passes all understanding, that's guarding your heart and your mind. Well, the last thing we mention is that Paul, being in that trance state, he said he was in a trance in verse 17. The term there in the Greek is ekatasias, and that's ecstasy, same idea. And the idea is, I don't know if you've ever had an ecstasy like this or a trance like this, but it's the mind carried beyond itself. Somehow, it's almost like a daydreaming, but your mind is carried away to a place where you're not even aware of your surroundings. Your external senses are suspended for that time. And God reveals something in particular. Very interesting kind of experience to have. That's what Paul had. And it's basically a rapture of the mind. We think about the rapture of the body being caught up to be with the Lord. This is, in a sense, a rapture of the mind. You're still there. People are going, is anybody home? I was just kind of thinking about the Lord, you know, and there's that communion, that deep communion that takes place. But what we find with Paul, we just encourage you to just be those that share your testimony. I love it when I'm on a plane or I'm somewhere where I can tell people about my testimony. And sometimes people say, oh, well, what do you do? I don't want to say, well, I'm a pastor. I've said that before. And all of a sudden, oh, that's nice. And they'll turn to the window and never turn back in that 5-hour flight, you know, or whatever. So I teach the ancient scriptures. I teach in the Old Testament. I teach in the New Testament too. Oh, interesting. And then if the conversation gets engaged, because a lot of people are interested in that, and I say, well, actually, I'm a pastor. Oh, I thought so when you said that. Somehow you have to be very coy in how you approach people so that you can open the doors. But I've had people open their heart, unbelievable. I've had people accept the Lord as you're landing the plane. Amazing. I spoke to a Jewish guy, and I didn't let on what I was, you know, and we had an incredible conversation in 3-hour flight, nonstop, just able to pray for him at the end. And he said, I've never had that happen to me before. I said, well, that's okay. It won't hurt. You know, let me pray for you. You know, and so I did. A great time.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 22, titled Paul's Testimony. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 22. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.